Last week, we profiled a family displaced by a landslide back in 2018. Today, my guest says these landslides do not necessarily have to hit families unaware. Hello there. This is your weekly Africa Climate Conversations podcast. I'm your host, Sophie Mbo. Now, for every problem, there exists a solution, and someone somewhere is trying to find that solution. But before I invite my guest today, just a reminder that this episode is part of an ongoing mental health and climate impact series. This series has been made possible by a grant from the International Women's Media Foundation's Howard G. Buffet Fund for Women Journalists. Michael Ngugi, a GIS expert from the Regional Center for Mapping of Resources for Development based here in Nairobi, developed a landslide monitoring tool that tells us where a landslide is likely to happen. The landslide tool factors in the economic losses emanating from the agricultural, industrial, and infrastructure losses and human impacts, among many other impacts. The essence, Michael says, was to ensure that policymakers monitor and have enough information to build after a landslide. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. But first, who is Michael?
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Michael Ngugi Kimani. I work with the Regional Center for Mapping of Resources for Development. Mm-hmm. It's an intergovernmental institution that is based in Nairobi, Kenya. Mm-hmm. And our main work is on provision of geoinformation services using a technology called Geographical Information System, popularly known as GIS. And basically what it entails is just mapping of resources from natural resources to environmental resources and so on.
Okay.
So specifically, the research that I was doing, I was not doing it in the capacity of the regional center.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually doing it as my thesis research, where I was a master's student at Strathmore University.
Mm-hmm.
And it involved coming up with a tool for monitoring landslides in Muranga County.
Mm-hmm.
Muranga County is one of the counties in the central province.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose here is not to really create like an alert system of landslides, but to really show what is really happening in case, for example, disaster response units want to coordinate issues to do with the landslides.
Mm-hmm.
Where would they get particular information in terms of where has the landslide occurred? Which roads can be used to pass, what infrastructure has been destroyed, in case it is rebuilding things like houses, how many houses needs to be rebuilt, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So that is really what my research was all about.
Mm-hmm.
The main goal is really to also analyze and combine different data sets using maps so that people can visually see what is happening on the ground, especially on even the landslides that have occurred. Because
mm-hmm.
you'll find in most cases that if a place has suffered a landslide, in most cases it will experience another landslide if something has not yet been done. So that is something that is very clear even when you look at the products that we created in this research.
Is the tool in place right now? Is it still in the status of just within research status?
Yeah, the tool is just within the status of our research because it's still work in progress.
Uh-huh.
But the purpose of the tool is not for it just to remain in research, but it can be utilized or a part of it can be utilized to inform decision makers.
Uh-huh.
And it has about three components that can be used. One of the components is to give an indicator of really what is the demographic data that is coming from Muranga in terms of the population based on the various age groups disaggregated by the genders, the gender for male and female,
mm-hmm.
The total population, the available households, the population density, the markets that are available, the house ownership, people who are requiring support in terms of persons with disabilities, street persons, a number of hospitals that are there, a number of landslides that are that have been reported, number of health facilities. So that is the first part. The first part is to really give a good indicator of what Murang'a County has. Mm-hmm. And this information has been acquired from the National Bureau of Statistics. Mm-hmm. And that is the first part. Then the second part, there's a dashboard which gives you a good indicator of how the landslides have been occurring for the last 3 years. That is actually from 2017, 2018, and 2019. Mm-hmm. And although the data is not yet full, but it can give you an indicator of how many deaths have been reported, how many tree bushes have been destroyed. We know Murang'a County is one of the counties that is very, very strong when it comes to agricultural mm-hmm. activities, mm-hmm. especially tea farming. Mm-hmm. Then the number of domestic animals that have died, the number of households that have been affected. These mm-hmm. are people who have lost houses, and in some cases, they have lost even property. Mm-hmm. And then this information is arranged per sub-counties. We have various sub-counties in Murang'a. Mm-hmm. So you can easily be able to tell, like during this research, based on the data that I had, I could tell Kangema sub-county was the area which had a lot of landslides occurring. And using this information, you can easily be able to tell which area is really susceptible for landslide anytime there is a heavy downpour. So that is the second. The third part, this one targets people who want to do a little bit of analysis of the data. Like for example, you might want to know when a landslide hits maybe a specific sublocation or a specific village, you'd want to know which villages have been affected, which infrastructure has been affected in terms of which schools have been affected, both primary and high schools, which health facilities are near in case you want to take the affected people to the hospital. You'd want to know which roads have been affected, which ones can be used for traveling and so on. The tea factories that have been affected, the tea buying centers, these are the places where collection of tea happens from the farmers. So this one requires a little bit of analysis, and somebody can use this information to do a little bit of interaction with the tool itself. So those are the three levels of the tool.
All right. And so what I'm getting is that this tool is supposed to actually record and monitor landslides event, right?
Exactly.
How would this particular tool work to do that?
The way we envision this tool to work is, mm-hmm. If a landslide has occurred, somebody who has been designated to feed entry to the system or to the tool would capture this information, mm-hmm. like for example, where the landslide has occurred, in terms of the exact location. Mm-hmm. So this location is captured in terms of the geographical coordinates. Mm-hmm. So once it is captured, once this information is captured, information about, like for example, the number of deaths that have been reported, the extent in which that landslide went, if it's maybe 1 kilometer or 2 kilometer, that can also be recorded. Mm-hmm. And there's also other secondary information that the tool has to make it easy for somebody to analyze. Mm-hmm. Like we already have a geographical base map. A base map is a satellite imagery of mm-hmm. Of Murang'a County, yeah. So that somebody does not need to buy a satellite image. Already the tool has, it's making use of the available satellite images, like for example, Google Maps and OpenStreetMap, mm-hmm. where this information can be captured. Mm-hmm. We do also have the other base maps where you can even extract information from the map itself, because we do know that when the landslide occurs, it mm-hmm. occurs in areas that are very remote. Some of them are not even mapped in the Google Maps and the base maps that we do have. So person who is now entering this information can be able to even edit the base maps that are available, mm-hmm. and pinpoint where this particular landslide has occurred. So we would have like somebody in the office who is entering this information, or they can use it. They can even use their form. There's somebody can enter this information in a form, mm-hmm. or rather in a form, mm-hmm. and somebody of course has to be on the ground also to confirm indeed that the landslide has occurred, and they can take some photos here and there just to attach proof that this is what is happening.
One of the things that I found is that communities are always hit by a landslide, and then they are told to actually move to a higher ground when already disaster has actually happened. But then, can we use this monitoring tool to make sure that we can be able to record and say, in this particular season, or after this particular number of days, or after a whole month of raining, this area will actually be hit, is on 80% chance that it will be hit by a landslide. And then policymakers can take this information and be preventive, act before a landslide hits a community.
That part of the of sending alerts and giving like a preventive indicator that a landslide is about to occur, mm-hmm. is not incorporated in the tool. Mm-hmm. And the reason is already there are people who have already done research. They have actually come up with algorithms and formulas in which they can predict when a landslide is occurring. Mm-hmm. I think when I was doing my research, I based my research on a gentleman who did some research at the University of Nairobi, mm-hmm. where they had come up with a formula by looking at the slope of an area, by looking at the geology. These are the rocks and soil. Mm-hmm. And the amount of rainfall that an area receives, mm-hmm. then it would easily be able to predict where this particular landslide can occur. Mm-hmm. So I think this is something that can be integrated with that kind of a research, because already that information is already there. Mm-hmm. There are already maps that have already been done showing these are the areas which are most vulnerable when it comes to landslides. Mm-hmm. And so what I was focusing on, or what I was looking at, is sometimes when a landslide has occurred, people don't know really what's happening there. They know that just it's a landslide that has occurred. If maybe there's death that has been reported, maybe it's captured in the news. But we do know that the damage is more than that in terms mm-hmm. of infrastructure, in terms of how does the community rebuild, and things like that. So I wanted to bring out that particular element so that we look at, if you're looking like, for example, I noted that in 2017, we had about 247 houses were destroyed. Mm-hmm. So when you look at now, who takes over that responsibility of relocating these people? It is a school that has been destroyed. How will it go back to its normalcy? People are probably doing exams in that particular school. How will they be moved, and so on? So it's taking the conversation a little bit further than, yes, we have the alert that can come, which is okay, and it's good that it can prevent people. But mm-hmm. now when it strikes and people want to rebuild, what information can they use to rebuild the community that has been affected? And I think with this particular tool, it can be a good place to know this is where the landslide has occurred. These are the people who are affected. These are the infrastructure that is down. How do we now return some of this, and if for instance we are able to quantify what has been destroyed, the county government can be able now to come up with even a budget of how much would they need to allocate for this. Mm-hmm. And just to also take the conversation a little bit further, mm-hmm. You'll find that countries in Asia, mm-hmm. they usually get a lot of landslides, a lot of natural disasters, things like tsunamis and so on. It's usually a guarantee that it will always happen. But now what they put in place is now measures in which the country or a specific region, and they have information that they have collected in terms of administrative data, in terms of infrastructure data, soil data, agricultural data, things that in case that tsunami or a landslide has occurred, what information would they use to rebuild that place to its original form, if not all. So that's what I was also trying to look at. In case people would want, like the Red Cross has moved there, and they would want to know what is really the casualty that we are looking at. Where are these houses that have been destroyed? Then they can use this particular tool to get this information.
Yeah. What kind of infrastructure would a county require, or maybe an institution like Red Cross require, if they are to use this particular tool to monitor landslides or other different natural disasters?
It doesn't require a lot of investment to run. Mm-hmm. It's actually running on the cloud. It's using technologies that are not very expensive to acquire. Mm-hmm. The county would definitely need to have what you call a geographical information system platform.
That is
GIS. Mm-hmm. So this is a tool which will allow them to produce the maps that they do require. Mm-hmm. We do know that not everything has been mapped. So a county would require to map some of the key infrastructure that are coming up, things like power plants that they have, maybe dams that they have, the roads, information that you cannot find in the in Google Map or in the normal base maps that are available, then they can be able to map this particular information. Then you would definitely need something called a GPS. A GPS is a device which is used for collecting data. This is geographical coordinates, and it's useful for people who maybe, for example, a landslide has occurred. Somebody can be able to use this particular device to record that particular landslide. And in the absence of GPS, you can even use a smartphone. Most of our smartphones usually have a GPS embedded in them. So this is information that somebody might want to have. And then maybe they would need to have somebody who has a good understanding on the community. Like, for instance, if a landslide has occurred in a specific village, how would you get information about how many people were there? What were they doing? This is information that you can get from the local chief. So organizing a team of people who can get this information from the chief or from government location officers, it's something that is critical, because it's not just about technology. It's also about the real aspect of it, to ensure that the data and the information has been validated also from the ground itself.
Absolutely. When it comes to human resource infrastructure, do they need an expert in GIS, or can a county train one? And is it too expensive in terms of affording to train one?
I think the county would need to invest on human resource persons who have a good understanding on GIS. Not so much. I think these are costs that are taught by most of the universities that we have in our country. So having like two or three GIS experts and having about maybe two ICT experts on the ground, this would help. And they would definitely be shown how to come up with these particular maps, how to update the maps, how to provide information now in a way in which the decision makers would be able to understand. What the tool was also trying to avoid was, if for example you go and give the decision makers a map showing where the landslides have occurred, they will organize it. But if you provide for them a dashboard that gives them an indicator of how much has the county lost in terms of money? If, for example, if it was a road that was being used to ferry milk or ferry the tea once it has been collected, if it is quantified and they are told we are not able to get milk of X amount to this particular depot, then they can be able to see now there's a big loss here that we are facing. If they are able to see the number of people who have been affected, they don't have homes and they have relocated maybe to a church, and there are issues of maybe a disease outbreak because people are congesting there and so on, then they would now be able to see the problem in a bigger magnitude. So to just take the conversation further, it's not just to have the GIS people, but also to have people who can quantify economically or in terms of infrastructure what has really been lost. And that's why the first part of the tool is to really introduce the person using it to what is the infrastructure like in terms of the demography, who owns what. Like, you notice that based on the house ownership in Murang'a, individual houses, they are about 65,000. The rented houses, they are about 75,000. When a disaster comes, it will affect both the rented houses and also the people who are living in their houses individually. So these are important indicators. When we're looking at persons with disabilities, they are about 51,000. When a landslide, some of the people with disabilities are affected. So what would happen in case you want to access these important people in the society? So that is to take the conversation a little bit beyond just the maps, but also looking at the numbers and trying to understand what does it mean when we say 100,000 households have been affected. It could be some of them were school going kids and they will not be able to do the exam, you know, things like that.
Yeah, because that means at the end of the day, there need to be people who are able to interpret the data and make sense of the data to the policymakers to make sure at least it goes beyond just being data that will actually be stored in the shelf, but data that can be worked on in terms of acting and in terms of preventive measures and also in terms of moving forward, right?
Yeah. You also note that, like, for example, one of the things that I included in the tool is available markets. Mm-hmm. So you'll find that Moranga has about 70 markets available. Mm-hmm. So in case, for example, a landslide has occurred and a certain market has been affected, then definitely the economy of that particular market and the people who rely on it and they are dependent on it, they will definitely be affected. So this is information that can also be taken a little bit further to even know the markets that are available. What is really their worth in terms of the people they support, the amount it brings to the county in terms of taxes and so on, and in terms of the money that is exchanged in that particular market. So if it can be quantified and included in the tool, then it is something that the person who is looking at this information at a management or at a decision making point, they will be able to see now there's a need here to pay a special attention to this issue of landslides.
Absolutely. And let me ask you, Michael, because I'm listening to you speak and I'm thinking one of the biggest challenge that exists, especially not just only in Moranga County, but Kenya in large and in many African countries, is the access to data. And you find in most cases, data is very fragmented. Like you find Kenya Met has a different data set, and then you'll find the natural disasters. If they have data, they have different data. Every sector have data that is within themselves, that data that is actually not brought together. I'm listening to you speak and I'm thinking this tool will require a lot of data. How important is it that if a county is to take up, or if an institution is to take up, and even somebody else listening from a different country will be thinking, wow, Rwanda, we're having a lot of landslides and probably we could actually use this particular tool. How important is data for this tool to work?
The tool without data is as good as dead. And I'm saying that is because the engine that drives the tool to work is data in itself. Mm-hmm. And data is a very huge component, so much so that if we don't have it in its wholesome, or if you don't have it in an accurate way, it might even be giving you misleading information. Yeah. So the thing first is to ensure that there's good, reliable data source. Mm-hmm. And in our case, I was looking at various data sources. Mm-hmm. So one of the places where I was getting very good information, very good data, is from the Kenya Bureau of Statistics. Mm-hmm. We are lucky that we did our census just recently, I think in 2019. And this information they have already shared in their website. So I was able to extract all this information from that, especially the demographic data. Mm-hmm. Data from also the Ministry of Health in terms of the health facilities that are available, the beds and so on. Mm-hmm. This is information that is also available. Mm-hmm. It might not be in complete, but at least there's something that is there. Then information about the persons living with disabilities, data I got it from the National Council for Persons with Disabilities. Yeah. So this is information that was also important. Then we also now have the mapping data. Now the data that you'd require to show where the landslide has occurred, mm-hmm. this one has to be captured on the ground. Okay. And I would say that most of this is not available. Mm-hmm. Actually, most of the data that is collected or captured is the one which is reported in the media. Mm-hmm. Like for example, when a death has occurred, maybe 10 people have been affected, five families have been affected. Mm-hmm. You'll find that this information is what is recorded mostly. But I would also want to say that the Kenya Meteorological Department, mm-hmm. because they have officers in Moranga County, mm-hmm. they usually collect this information for people who have been affected, the households that have been affected, mm-hmm. and who have this information. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, this information is not shared publicly. Yeah. So you have to physically go to the offices and get this information. Mm-hmm. And depending on whether the information is there or not, you might get it sometimes you might not get it. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say the data is really, really complete. Mm-hmm. In some places, you might find that data is available in specific sub-counties. Mm-hmm. And in some counties, in some other sub-counties, the data is not yet very much available. Yeah. So one of the recommendations that I had indicated in my research is the need of collecting this particular data. Mm-hmm. Because without this particular data, you will not know the extent in which the problem of landslide has occurred. Yeah. Like, based on the data that I had, had indicated that Kangema was showing that it has a lot of landslide. So you'd find that the person who is leading this particular constituency, he would have a better leverage in case he's sourcing for money from the national government or from the county government in terms of what should be invested in his county, more than maybe somebody else who comes from Kahuro or Kandara or Maragua. And the reason is because he has this data already available in Kangema. If he could have other sub-counties also having this particular data, then they would even have a better case to argue in terms of how much should be set aside when it comes to mitigating and addressing these particular landslides. So data is very important.
Okay, absolutely. So if anyone listening and an institution or a county would want to invest, or a country, then it's very vital to understand that they must also invest in terms of data collection on the ground.
Exactly. And there are two things here. There's the technology part, which is now the tool, which is the engine. But now there's data itself. And I will give an example of, for example, if you want to go to town right now, you don't need to buy a satellite image to know which road to use to avoid traffic. You just need a good phone, a smartphone. You open it, you check in the map, and you're able to see, oh, this route has a traffic, then I need to avoid and I need to go this particular route. Yeah. So the same case applies to this particular landslide. There's the technological part, which is the tool, but now the data itself, you need it for the tool to give you reliable information. Yeah. And in some cases, you'll find that you don't need to buy all data. Some of these data sets, they are already available. So it's just a matter of maybe updating them or just customizing them a little bit further to suit Murang'a County, because you don't want to have a big data set that is difficult to analyze and work with.
Absolutely. And let me ask you, in terms of, we talked so much about this tool and landslides, but I'm sure there are other people who are listening to us and different other parts of Africa that are listening and wondering, could we invest in this tool? Because our problem is not landslides, but we would want to invest in a tool that we actually monitor other natural disasters like floods, like different other natural disasters. Can this tool be scaled up, and can it be used to monitor other different kind of natural disasters?
Yeah, in fact, the tool, as I had indicated earlier, it's using geographical information technology, that is GIS. And the tool can be used in any sector that would want to map natural resources or disasters that have occurred. Like, for example, if you even want to map crime, you want to map crime based on a specific sub-county, based on the crime incidents that has been reported and where they are reported and where they have been occurring, this tool can be used in that mode. It can also be used to map and monitor how COVID is spreading across the country, especially when we have diseases outbreak, like for example malaria and so on. This tool can be used. It can have different endpoints in which somebody can use to analyze whatever they need to analyze. But the bottom line is that you need data. The tool in itself is really a shell. It's really a shell, but once you have data input, then you can be able to see the significance of it. And you do not have to start with the whole county. You can even start maybe with the area that is prone to disasters. Like you say, let's first of all work with Kangema. We see how is the information here, you know, in terms of, for example, the economic agricultural activities that are taking place there and how much the farmers are getting. This information can be mapped so that everything that the county is doing, they can be able to see it in one dashboard.
Thank you so much, Michael. Your final word?
Yeah, my final word is that thank you very much for having me. And I do hope that one of the listeners who would want to engage us or me or myself in further in strengthening this particular tool would definitely would want to utilize this opportunity to do that. It was still a research, and we always say research is built on another research. Absolutely. I built on what somebody else had done. And I'm hoping that in case somebody would want to take further this particular tool and do more analysis or even focus on a specific area, I would be glad to share this information and the data that I have already compiled for the betterment of ensuring that this issue of landslide is managed. We cannot prevent landslides, definitely. But what we can do, we can always use this information to rebuild whenever a landslide has occurred. And that is really the purpose of this tool. Looking at post landslide, what happens? Where would somebody get this particular information? Right. And if somebody can be able to utilize this information or take the information a little bit beyond where it is, then I would be more than happy to assist in that.
All right, Michael, thank you so much. I sincerely appreciate your time, you taking your time to explain your work, what you're doing, and I hope that you will have people who would want to actually partner with you. And thank you so much for coming on board tonight.
Thank you very much.
All right. That was Michael Ngugi Kimani, a GIS expert from Nairobi, telling us about his research and landslide monitoring tool. Remember, this episode is part of the ongoing Mental Health and Climate Impact series. You can access other episodes and many more by visiting our website, www.africaclimateconversations.com, or listen to us through Spotify, Apple, Anchor, Google Podcast, or any other channel you access your podcasts from. You can also stay in touch. Tell us the conversations you'd want to listen to through writing to us through info@africaclimateconversations.com, or follow us and leave us a message on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can also subscribe to receive a weekly newsletter by hitting the subscribe button on our website. At Africa Climate Conversations Podcast, we are grateful to the International Women's Media Foundation's Howard G. Buffy Fund for Women Journalists, whose grant has made this series possible. Join me again next week on Tuesday, but until then, kwaheri. My name is Sophie Mbogwa.